We are going to look in the book of Matthew, chapter number 11. When we come into this chapter, we see John the Baptist in a prison of doubt. And we understand that he has sent his disciples, John's disciples, down to see Jesus and said, "Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?" Jesus made that wonderful statement, said, "You go back and tell John the things which you do hear and see." He said, "The blind receive their sight and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear. The dead are raised up and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." And that sufficed those gentlemen, and they turned to go back to the prison of doubt where John was to give him the good news. And there was a crowd there that heard the disciples of John questioning Jesus, maybe even presenting John's doubts. And there was a whispering, I believe, a murmuring amongst that congregation. And this morning, I want to ask if you would please stand. I want to look back at verse number 7. "And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, What went ye out in the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, and I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." Let's stop reading right there. Father, we ask now that you would help us as we enter into a time of preaching. Father, that we might present the word of God. And Father, it would be good for our souls. Yea, Lord, we thank you for the challenge that lies before us. And I pray, God, as we are challenged from your word, that we would take heed unto thy word and become doers of thy word. Father, thank you for all that you've done for us. How we thank you from the depths of our heart for saving us from the devil's hell and for blessing us as you have. Oh, God, I pray, Lord, that you'd hear us when we say, all of eternity is not enough time for us to crawl on our knees and thank you for all that you've done. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. In the first 10 chapters of Matthew, Matthew always presents Jesus as king. It is like a revelation of the King of Kings. When we come to chapter number 11, there begins to be some negative responses. We've labeled this the rebellion of the king. Negative responses to the ministry of Christ. Last week we recorded the fact that there was doubt by the greatest of all preachers, the greatest, one of the greatest men that ever lived. He began to have some doubt, and surely if he was a man that could have some doubt, you and I could have some doubt as well. When we look at the verses this morning, there are more negative responses, and I want to say it's this: the sin of being hard to please. You think about what I'm instructing you with today. I want to tell you, I have a difficulty in my flesh, my pride. It's often hard to please. It's amazing. You'll go out and buy all these gizmos for the children, and pretty quick they're bored with it. They're hard to please. It's amazing. Back in my day, you'd give us a cardboard box, we'd have a lot of fun with a cardboard box. We never told mom and dad we was bored, we was ready to go do something. But I'm telling you what, we live in a generation. Yay, Jesus lived in a generation that was a crowd that was hard to please. You may say, "Preacher, I don't think so." Look at verse 16. "But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows and saying, We have piped unto you, and you have not danced. We have mourned unto you, and ye have not lamented." Negative responses to the ministry of Christ. Hard to please we are. When Jesus was born of a virgin, they said that he was born of fornication.
When Jesus was announced by John the Baptist, they threw John in prison. When Jesus stood to preach the truth, they argued with him. When Jesus cast out demons, they said, "Depart out of our coast." When Jesus performed miracles, they said he did it by the power of the devil. Why did they say those things? Because that generation was hard to please. And the generation we live in is hard to please. You look at all God has done for you. And still, the truth be known, we're hard to please. You can tell people that souls were saved and they'll say, "That's pretty good," and just shrug their shoulders. I want to tell you what, God has performed miracles before us. And we live in a generation that is unappreciative of what God is doing for us. And you may say, "Wait a minute, preacher. We thank God." Listen, we could never thank Him enough for the blessings and the favor He sent our way. I want you to see, first of all, they did not appreciate God's messenger, John the Baptist. They threw him in prison. And when John came with a few doubts, they began to murmur and to whisper. Listen, they failed to appreciate John's ministry. And listen what Jesus said when they thought John was a shaking reed. Verse 7 again. "What went you out in the wilderness to see? A reed shaking with the wind?" A reed is a flexible stalk that grows by the banks of the river. And when the wind begins to blow, that reed begins to be shaken by the wind. It is beginning to waver. And oftentimes that reed can be tenderly touched and it will break off. It's fragile. That's what they begin to think about John the Baptist's ministry, that he was fragile. And let me tell you something. Someone who's blown by every wind of doctrine is someone who's easily persuaded and someone who will not stand for the truth. Hey, I want to say to you, John the Baptist was much stronger than some reed shaking in the wind. He stood for the truth and boldly proclaimed the word of God. I want to say to you this morning, John's not some stripling. He's not some weakling. He's filled with the Holy Ghost to preach the word of God. And they hated him for it and they threw him in the jail cell. He's not a shaking reed. Look at the next verse. He's not a man of soft raiment, the scripture says. "What went you out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment." That soft raiment means something that's delicate or something that's pleasing unto the king. He said, "Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in king's houses." I would remind you, John wasn't trying to be a caterer to the crowd. He wasn't trying to please the king. It was John the Baptist that got up in Herod's face and said, "It is unlawful for you to have your brother's wife." He was preaching against adultery. And they hated him for it. He boldly proclaimed the word of God. I want to say to you this morning, amen. John wore camel's hair. He ate locusts and wild honey and lived out in the middle of the wilderness. Amen. He was one voice that said, "I'm not going to please man, but I'd rather please God." I remember back in the days where the king of England, you know, years and years ago, the king of England came into the audience where Mortimer was preaching. And one of the friends and one of the fellows of Mortimer said, "Mortimer, Mortimer, the king of England is here today. Be careful." Mortimer walked up to the platform and he said, "Mortimer, Mortimer, the King of Kings is here today. Be careful how you speak." Hey man, don't you bend it or bow it for some king or some dignitary. You preach the word of God. That's what John the Baptist did. He wasn't a man of soft raiment. He was also a man that was simply refused. Verses 9 and 10. "What went ye out to see? For to see a prophet?" Jesus said, "Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet." You see, they began to label him a troublemaker. He was a man who was thrown in jail. What did he do? He's lost his reputation. He's lost his testimony. Let me say, listen, the Bible says, Jesus' word, "This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee." Hear me, John's not just any prophet. He's the last of the Old Testament prophets, I believe. He's not just any prophet. He's the messenger of the Messiah. Come to prepare the way. And I want you to know, the people sneered at him. Did you know that any time you read or hear the Word of God, you've been blessed? It is the grace of God reaching you to hear or to read the Word of God. And if God sent you some old-fashioned backbone preacher to stand up before you and boldly declare the Word of God, that's the gift of God to the local church to declare the lost man his need of salvation and to teach the church the truth and righteousness, how to properly behave and conduct themselves with Christian conduct and character. They hated John for that. They could not stand him. They did not appreciate God's messenger that he sent to them. I was reading out of the book of Ezekiel, that great prophet, and God said to Ezekiel, he said, they will not receive you, but one day they'll know that there's been a prophet amongst them. Seldom is the man of God appreciated for what God has sent into that congregation till he's gone. I love those great men of God like Percy Ray, but I say this, a lot of people didn't appreciate Brother Percy till he was gone to heaven. A lot of people didn't appreciate Dr. J.L. Smith till he has gone to heaven. But I appreciate them men of God who's gone on before us. And now it's our lot. God's turned it over to us. Preach the Word. Amen. Boy, we ought to appreciate God sending us His precious Word. Second of all, they did not appreciate God's privilege. Look with me here. They didn't appreciate God's prophet. They didn't appreciate God's privilege. He said, verse 11, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. In other words, Jesus is affirming John's ministry. Read on. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. What does that mean, preacher? The most insignificant believer today is greater than John the Baptist. Why? Because we have a greater privilege. John the Baptist was on that side of the cross. We are on this side of the cross. John didn't understand the full gospel. Amen. He had glimpses of Old Testament verses to preach from. You and I have a complete, infallible, inspired, inerrant Word of God. We have the complete picture before us this morning. You and I are considered, maybe least in the kingdom, greater than John the Baptist because of our privilege. And I want to say to you this morning that if you're not challenged and you're not careful, you will not appreciate the privilege God has granted to you to be His child. What a privilege to have our sins forgiven. What a privilege to belong to the Lord God Almighty and be one of His youngins. And this crowd has lost their appreciation to be the redeemed, to be the people of God. I want to say this to you this morning. The same light that melts the ice is the same light that hardens the clay. The same sun that melts the heart can be the same sun that hardens the heart. I believe Jesus is dealing with a crowd that's got hard-hearted. You be careful this morning that you don't get hard-hearted. I believe this morning that somebody in this congregation, you're in danger of becoming hard-hearted. You've lost your burden, lost your vision, lost your focus. You ain't really talked to the Lord lately like you used to, amen? I mean, with a sincere heart, genuine heart. You may say, Preacher Darren, we just got out of Bible school. Just had revival here a while back. I'm a member at Bethel Baptist Church. That's a good place. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. You can quickly develop a hardened heart if you're not careful. Lose your appreciation for God's blessings upon your life and the privilege that He sent you. Thirdly, according to verses 12 through 15, they did not appreciate God's promise. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. Preacher, what does that mean? Been attacked by demons, been attacked by the world, been attacked by flesh, and the violent take it by force. Wait a minute, preacher, who's taking heaven? I tell you what, the Bible tells us to strive to enter in at the straight gate. Amen? In other words, you're going to reach a point of desperation. Have you ever been there? Oh, where I desire Him. And from despair of my heart, I desire Him so desperately. I'll take by force, amen. That's what he wants. He wants us to have a heart of dedication unto the Lord. And that taking God and his promises. Look at verse 13. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you will receive it. Do you see that? Jesus knew this crowd did not appreciate the promises of God. He said, and if you will receive it, this is Elias or Elijah, which was for to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Preacher, what does that mean? You hear me? 400 years before John, Malachi said, writing this, God led him, that the Lord would send Elijah before that great and dreadful day of the coming of the Lord. That's what he said. And I want you to know that Jesus, before he was born, God sent John the Baptist in the spirit of Elijah to prepare the way. And if Israel would have received John the Baptist, you may say, was Elijah reincarnated in John the Baptist? No. But he was a man in like manner, a man in like spirit. If they had received John the Baptist and would have received the Messiah, the kingdom would have come. But praise God, it's postponed. He would have left us out, amen. You hear me? 400 years, there wasn't a prophet to preach. 400 years, nobody heard a word from God other than what Old Testament verses they had. And the Bible says in the book of John, there was a man sent from God, and his name was John. Amen! For the gospel preacher to come in and herald the word of God to prepare the way for the Messiah to come. And I want to say to you, the crowd didn't appreciate it. They got used to sitting around doing nothing. They got used to sitting around absolutely satisfied with that one thing. But I want to say to you this morning, Jesus is coming again. And when he comes and raptures home the church, praise God. But for you that are unbelievers and scoffers, there'll be 7 years of tribulation upon this earth. Such terrible times you've never seen. And right in the middle of this time, there's going to be two witnesses God's going to send. And one of them's going to be Elijah. He's going to preach the word. He's going to preach the gospel of the kingdom. Amen. The Antichrist, for the longest time, cannot touch him. And then God's going to allow those two witnesses to be killed by the Antichrist. And God's going to raise them up out of the street, amen, and call them home to glory. And then the Lord, 3.5 years later, is going to come back with his saints to have victory at the Battle of Armageddon over the devil, woo, the false prophet and the Antichrist. I want to say this morning, we have the promises of God, but if we're not careful, we will not appreciate them. Fourthly, I'm almost done. They did not appreciate God's provisions. Verse 16 again. Whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows and saying, we have piped unto you, and you have not danced. We have mourned unto you, and you have not lamented. What does that mean? In that Jesus' day, the children would play in the marketplace. Let me tell you what I used to do. I used to play church in the backyard. Our church was called Backyard Baptist, a real original name. In fact, I ran it through a notebook the other day where my brother and I would play church. We was trying to emulate my daddy. And we'd go and we'd preach to the cats and the dogs. And you know, we tried to baptize cats and everything. And, man, I got scratched all to pieces there. And my daddy come home from work and he said, what's happened to you? I said, we're baptizing the cat. And he said, you can't baptize a cat. And I said, he ought to thought about that before he got saved. But these young'uns would play out in the marketplace. And their game was called wedding. And they would invite all their friends that have someone stand as a groom, someone stand as a bride, and all their friends would gather around. They loved the wedding because there was a beautiful feast, and they'd get together, the children would play, and they'd pop their music and play, and some young'un would get their feelings hurt. What's wrong with you? My feelings just hurt. I wanted to be the groom. I wanted to be the bride. I wanted to be the best man. And they go sit out in the corner. That's exactly what happened. Don't look at me funny. They were a bunch of spoiled young'uns. Jesus said our generation is a bunch of spoiled young'uns. So when one of them sat off in the corner, I'm mad because I didn't get to be the best man. I quit. So one of them said, well, I'll tell you what we'll do. Since you're just pouting, laying there, sitting around like a dead man, we'll play funeral. and we'll preach, and the rest of them act like we're crying, and you'd be the dead man if you want to act like that. And that made them mad too. And they refused like a bunch of spoiled youngins. Look with me. Verse number 18, for John came neither eating nor drinking. In other words, he was fasting. And the Bible says, and they say he hath a devil. In other words, can you imagine somebody evaluating John the Baptist preaching? I think he's too bold. I think he's too loud. I think he preaches too long. He's got too many rough edges. I didn't like his camel-haired suit. All he wants to preach is salvation. All I hear John say is, repent ye, repent ye, for the kingdom of God is at hand. I'm tired of that. He makes me feel like I've been to a funeral. The Son of Man came eating and drinking. And they say, behold, a man gluttonous and a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. Here comes Jesus, receiving sinners, eating with them, partaking with them, saving them. You know what they said about Jesus? He's too merciful. Running around with them bunch of sinners and publicans and outcasts makes me feel like I'm a criminal too. I don't like to see all these new people coming in, not really dressed for what I call church. They just really ain't our kind. We don't like the crowd Jesus attracts, so let's don't invite him back to our church, because if you do, I ain't coming to hear him preach. I'll stay at the house. You see, John couldn't please them, and Jesus can't please them. Who in the world do I think I am to think I can please them? Who do you think you are to think you can please them? You cannot please a crowd, but we can please God by faith. They did not appreciate God's provisions. Last of all, I'm done. Verse 19b. But wisdom is justified of her children. They did not appreciate God's prompting or God's warning. You see, they were fickle. They were stubborn. They were contentious. They were hard-hearted. They were inconsistent. And now the Lord's warned them. He said, wisdom is demonstrated by your behavior. You show your wisdom by your deeds. If the best you can act like is go to cuss out the referee, that doesn't say much about your Christian walk. But that makes me so mad. Crucify the flesh. Mortify that junk. Amen? Well, I tell you what, I just kind of didn't like how they did the dinners at the Bible school. I'm so upset about it. Get over yourself. We're here to try to have church and worship Jesus Christ. This crowd's in a dangerous spiritual condition. Go home and read the rest of this chapter. And read what a dangerous condition that crowd's in. The Lord gave grace to city after city after city. They refused him. And he put woes upon them. How close, sir, could you and your family be to a woe from the Lord? Because he's blessed you with every spiritual blessing. And you have become hard to please. In the early, I think it was late 1800s, early 1900s, Pennsylvania had a governor by the name of Pollock. And there was a young man that was put on death row, sentenced to death. And the mother came to the governor's office to plead for his life. And the governor refused to see her, told the secretary, do not let her in, I'm not even going to talk to her. The boy deserves to die. The mother stayed there all day begging, pleading the secretary. I mean, they had to call security a couple times and withdraw her, and she'd get back in anyway. And finally, when the secretary's head was turned to talk to someone else, the woman darted in the Governor Pollock's office. She fell on her knees and she said, sir, I beg you, that's not your boy, it's my boy. I'm begging you, would you go see my boy? Would you please pardon him? Just talk to him, you'll see, Governor. He's a changed young man. Pardon him, let him go. Governor Pollock said, well, it wouldn't be mercy if they deserve mercy. So I'm going to go down to see your son. Governor Pollock went down to the prison where death row is, and he asked the guard to open the cell, and he went in, and there sat that boy. His arms were crossed, his head was down. And the governor came in and said, "Hello, son." The boy wouldn't even look up. He said, "Son, would you talk to me?" The boy wouldn't even acknowledge him. He said, "Please, son, I'm here to help you. I'm here to talk to you. Would you help me understand? Would you tell me about yourself? Would you talk to me?" He said, "Son, I just want to be a blessing to you." And he just kind of turned his back on him and ignored him. Governor Polak called for the guard. He said, "Guard, I'm ready to go now." He said, "Son, I'm leaving." The boy just kind of turned his head away again when he tried to put his hand on his shoulder. And the governor got up and walked out, and the guard slammed the door back, locked it, and he said, "Thank you, Governor, for coming. Have a good day." The boy turned and said, "The governor? The governor?" He said, "Yes, sir, that was the governor. That was the one person that could have helped you, and you ignored him. The one person that could have helped you, you rejected him. The one person that could have helped you, and you wouldn't be pleased with someone coming to see you." He began to scream, "Governor! Governor!" Needless to say, that boy was executed. How many times has Jesus come amongst us? And we were sullen and pouting and petty. But all he wanted to do was fellowship with us. "Preacher, how could you preach such a message?" "Because I need to warn you. You'll become so melancholy and you'll become so unappreciative." Hey, some folk in this church today, you need to get this old-fashioned altar and you say, "Lord, I'm not going to be hard to please. I want to get out of here and say thank you. Thank you for visiting my family and saving my soul and saving my husband, saving my wife, saving my family, and saving my youngins. Thank you for your spiritual favor. Thank you for the spiritual privilege you placed upon my life. Oh God, help me never, never to become unthankful or unappreciative. God, you've been so good." And Lord, there's times in my life that it's true. My husband could tell it. My wife could tell it. I've been hard to please at times. And I pray that I'd humble myself before you. Folks are moving. Folks are moving all over the house. Altars full down the aisles. Folks, man, would you come? Don't miss God this morning when you confess to him, "Lord, I don't want to be hard to please. Help me never to be hard to please." You may say, "Preacher, Darren, I'll never have that problem." You better look out. You better look out. Folks still coming. Folks still coming.